Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the weekly version of the NDL podcast. I am your boy, RB. We are talking block two, and I am here with a new co-host who will be with me over the next few weeks. It is the one, the only, Petty D, also known as Pat. I will ask you, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. Had a fun weekend. Still exploring my new city and just doing a lot of cool stuff, eating good food, and obviously watched an unbelievable golf tournament, probably the best Masters we've seen since 2019 when, you know, Tiger came back and won it. So, awesome final round.
Awesome, man. How are you enjoying North Carolina? I think that was a place that my fiance and I kind of said that one of like five states that we'd probably move to outside of Texas. How are you enjoying it so far?
Yeah, it's really awesome. There's little small intricate details that I didn't really think about that are like not day-to-day life, but weekly life. Obviously, I knew gas prices coming from California would be cheaper. But like I Uber a lot of places because I like to go out and enjoy a cocktail. And the Uber prices out here are astronomically lower. Like to get to downtown is like $7, where if you wanted to, you know, go just about 4 or 5 miles in LA, you're going to be looking during peak time, like 30, 40 bucks. So yeah. Like little stuff like that adds up. Yeah. And just everyone's really nice. Just like they say, the Southern hospitality thing, it couldn't be more true. So it's really cool.
Yeah. That was one thing. I actually moved from Los Angeles to Dallas back in 2016. And when I first moved here, Dallas, like you said, $6 Uber ride was the minimum, and you could get pretty far on like $6, $7. And now here in Dallas, it's like you're lucky to get under like 25 to 30, even if you're even if you're not going far. So I definitely know that. Well, hey, I'm excited to have you on. I just want to dive into a few things here. We got block two going on. We got a new top 25. We'll talk a little bit about some results that have come in over the last 2 days. I'm really liking this Saturday start time. I guess, what is your take on that? Do you like the Saturday earlier block open, Pat, so far?
Yeah, you know, I really do. I feel like that gives folks an extra, you know, almost day to get those games in. And you notice, too, on Saturdays, it's been kind of nice, more what we like to call NDL at night, right? Like more late night games, which I think is really good because as we get older and some of you guys and a lot of you guys have families and stuff, it's tough, you know, to watch games while your kids are running around. So I feel like we have more engagement in the live chat on like a Saturday night now too, because people are playing games. So yeah, great. Just another, you know, the admin listening to the feedback and just doing a great job and adjusting to that. So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. No, I could not agree more. You know, I think I woke up this morning. I go to bed pretty early because my kid goes to bed and then she wakes up. And then it's like, well, shoot, we might as well just all get in bed together at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. But right. I wake up in the middle of the night, 2, 3 in the morning, and see that there were like 4 or 5 games played in that time that I went to bed, like you said, in the late night window. So always great to see those games pop in. But we'll start off today with just kind of some more general real life college football news. You know, we don't need to go into a ton of detail, but we see here that LSU star who's headed to the draft, Kyren Lacy, passed away. I know more details are coming out, but just kind of wanted to acknowledge that. It's a very sad day in the college football world, regardless. We won't get into the legality of the stuff he had going on or the character stuff or any of that sort of thing. But anytime someone passes away, it's a very sad moment in the college football world, in the LSU world. And I know we have some LSU guys in this league who, you know, probably cheered him on and really enjoyed watching him play football. So regardless of all the other stuff, I just wanted to acknowledge that. You know, obviously some guys in the chat today were talking about, you know, do they pull him off the game? Is he staying in the game? You know, and things like that. But needless to say, just wanted to call that out. You know, sad news regardless. So we don't need to go ahead, Pat.
Well, I did want to just say one thing. It's tough for me because I've coached high school ball, as you know, and I'm not saying it's tougher on me than someone else. But like as you get older too, when you see young people like this happen, it like hits you a little harder, I feel like. Because they have so much life out of them. So it's a bummer. You see, he might've been a first round draft pick and it's just, they're so young. When you really think about it, I think about myself when I was these guys' age and, you know, sometimes the decisions you make aren't always the sharpest and it's a sad state of affairs for sure. So, yeah. You know, obviously you feel for his family more than anything.
And we live in this world too. And again, we don't have to talk about this for too long, but we live in a world now with this NIL, man, and there's tons of money on the line and there's a lot of pressure and there's social media and there's people in your DMs, you know, saying bad stuff at you when you drop a ball or just stuff like that. And I'm not, you know, not saying, I'm not trying to justify any of Kyren Lacy's actions or what he had going on, but sure. It's just, it's a whole different world than it was 10, 15 years ago. You know, like we were used to coming up in high school and college and, like you said, as a coach, man, you're so close to these kids and you're trying to make a good impact and be a good influence on them. And, you know, sometimes you can't really do it all, right? Like these kids make choices and decisions and surround themselves with people. And, you know, just one of those things I think to acknowledge too, just the state of the mental health of the college athlete nowadays is probably a lot more difficult than it was 10 to 15 years ago. So
for sure. I couldn't agree more.
Gotcha. Well, we'll dive into NDL stuff, onto the fun stuff in this league. You know, block one obviously is closed. There's a lot of games that haven't happened yet, but I know there's some guys out of town, and just be it as it may, we always kind of have a slower start to the season and it kind of gets grooving. But I wanted to ask, Pat, what are some notable games that you saw on block one? Maybe it was an upset or some results. And we'll just kind of recap that real quick before we dive into block two.
Yeah, outside of, you know, since we do so many, do a good amount of shows now, I want to point out some games that maybe haven't been touched on too much or happened maybe after those shows. So block one, the one that really stood out to me was Tulane over Nebraska, 28-7 victory. Wes picked up a good team in the draft that suits his skill set. And I think that was a pretty surprising score. I think we spoke about it a little bit, but Georgia Tech over FSU. Big upset, right? Well, not, you know, big, but a top non-top 25 team beating a top 25 team. And then the one I want to touch on here really is, again, he does it again. Every single person on our game day program and other people around the league are picking Notre Dame to beat Georgia. And what does he do? Just goes out and takes care of business. Yep. You know, and then just two other ones. Especially with foreshadowing, Penn State's win over A&M looks really good now.
Right.
And then Northwestern beating Stanford. That was more of a coach thing. You have a new coach with a team in Northwestern versus a coach in Metro D who's made our CFP, and he beats him. And, you know, Stanford has a pretty good team in this game. So those are definitely the notable ones that I saw that popped out to me.
Yeah, I was looking through some of these results. Like you hit it already, the A&M Penn State game, that was one that wasn't really talked about a ton, but it actually is a pretty big result. But I'm looking at some players who I think had really great seasons last year, and maybe we're forgetting them about them a little bit. Obviously, Andy is off to a eye-popping start, kind of blowing everybody out so far. Tulane is hot, a joker at South Florida. Man, that's a team that no one's really even talking about as a group of five team that could be the top team going into the playoff in getting that bid. Obviously, Wes, SSI, I really enjoy watching him, and I played him last season in the cup, and he had me in hell. That's going to be real fun. We'll talk about the AAC later.
Yeah.
But yeah, you hit it, man. I always think like, you know, Duquesne's probably going to have five losses this year, maybe even six. I looked at his schedule, and I'm like, how do you get out of that schedule with 7-8 wins? I mean, he's 2-0 and he's looking pretty good. I mean, he handled rain pretty well. You got Coach D at Alabama. I mean, just absolutely wiping people.
Will you play him coming up?
I do. I do play him this block. I shouldn't even brought that up. I do because I'm a little concerned about that one. But like you said, you just have some of these guys like Vegas, you know, doing his thing. He's 4-0. He's already played his two games. And then I think we're really forgetting about Missouri and MJ Kemp. He's 2-0, had a great season last year. He's got a really nice schedule in the SEC. So that could be something to keep an eye on. But I'm also scrolling through some games who have not been played here. And so, Pat, I don't know if you had any on your list, but I just kind of was curious to hear or see what games you have that you're really looking forward to that just haven't quite happened yet in block one.
You know, for personal reasons, NC State and UConn is just an interesting game to me, just because rivalry game, and I'm curious to see. Dave had kind of, I don't know, like he went undefeated 2 seasons ago and then didn't have quite the same success, and so I'm curious to see that game. And then two NDL vets that I like to watch some of the old NDL vets, and it's kind of interesting. You have a Randog at Texas State, who I believe, and I may need a fact check, had the longest running dynasty ever in the league with the Houston Cougars. So he's actually playing the Houston Cougar owner, and I don't know if his end goal is to get back to Houston, and he's playing against a Houston fan. So I kind of like those kinds of matchups because I think maybe not to the entire league, but to those guys, that's probably maybe one of their biggest games of the year, right? Between, you know, personally. And then there's a few SEC games I saw that just haven't quite been played yet, but nothing too marquee. That really stood out in block one. Obviously, there's still plenty of time for block two games to be played, but block one, there wasn't anything that really stood out to me. What about you?
Yeah, I'm looking at there's a couple coaches who haven't played yet, and that's, you know, Ohio State, Steam at Cincinnati. One I'm looking at here is South Carolina. I see they have a matchup with Kentucky, and OFC Meat for me has been a player that's like he's a good player. Like I've watched him play a few times, and then he'll have some of those kind of dud games, if you will, like you see against Colorado. But I'm really curious to see that's a conference game in week two, block one. Just curious to see how South Carolina does. I know Dre drafted them probably because of what they're going to look like next season and be even more improved. I mean, they're fun and a good team to play with on this game, but they're going to be even better. So I'm really curious. I know they don't have a high win goal, but does he get one early in conference play? You know, we could see, you know, 12, 14 teams ranked in that conference. But yeah, very curious. Keeping an eye, like you said, on Dave at UConn. I'm just kind of looking through Memphis. Do they bounce back? I saw Arkansas, I think, lost a game just recently in the Cup. That was kind of a big upset. So the Memphis Arkansas game intrigues me there as well. So yeah, just thought I'd shout out some of those games because we get in that habit, like you said, with all these media shows talking about some of the same ones over and over again. So thought it'd be a good idea to shine some light on those, and I'm sure we'll see more trickle in here very soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Memphis we'll talk about the AAC later, but yeah, the Memphis Arkansas game was another one I had notable. It's just like that I'd like to watch that. It's probably going to be a million points scored for sure.
Well, we'll dive into the top 25 next. I'm looking at the rankings this week, Pat. I really it's funny because, you know, the last couple of seasons we griped and griped, and I say like we as a league, I'm not saying me or you, but you know, a lot of
Right.
people are like, oh, I can't believe so and so is ranked, can't believe so and so wasn't ranked. I really haven't had many issues with the first two top 25 polls, and maybe that's because us old heads in the media have been, you know, kind of getting on people about their top 25 polls or calling some people out from time to time. But I really thought this was a great poll. I really didn't have a ton of issues. But what stands out to you in this top 25? Are there any surprises, head scratchers, anything like that?
Yeah, no, not too much. I am a little bummed for BYU. He gets into the top 25, and then I think he lost his next two games. So that's a little bit of a bummer for him. You know, it's always cool to see new faces get in there. But here's something you have to think about with the top 25, whereas like we kind of get on people because there is a certain element to it that's important because we get bonus points for beating teams in the quote unquote top 25, right? And if you're a road team and or you're a top 25 team, and you beat another top 25 team, or you're unranked and you beat a top 25 team, you get bonus points. So these polls do matter. But being on the College Football Playoff committee last year was a little eye-opening for me, and it made me calm down on the, you know, the griping of the polling because the top 25, once the CFP is constructed, they're really two separate entities, right? Like you have this committee that chooses the top 12. And they don't, the poll, the top 25 poll has nothing to do with it, just conference goals or personal goals on the coaching contract. So it's kind of interesting. So I'm like you, I have no issue. I personally didn't have Oregon that high. If I were on the CFP, I wouldn't have them above like four of the teams that are, you know, ranked ahead of or that he's ranked ahead of. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So like I wouldn't have him, you know, ranked ahead of a Clemson or an Ole Miss in the CFP, but you know, most people would disagree with me. So, the most impressive team though on there is USC right now. I think his point differential is 77-7 in his games or something crazy like that. He's won both games by 35. So he's someone that I, you know, if I had to redo my poll, I'd probably move up a few more notches. But everything else is, like you said, it's pretty spot on.
Yeah, I would say so. Good call out on BYU. I mean, I don't know if you saw one of those scores. I think it was Kansas State. I think it was like an early conference game. I want to say Kansas State scored like 40 points in the second half. Like it was like an absolutely insane. Like I saw the box score as I pulled up the stream.
Two separate 25-point leads. Yeah, he was up 28-3, and then 31 to. He was up 28-3, and then 35-10.
10. At one
point and lost the game. Yeah,
I saw that in the chat, but no, I mean, good to get a little bit of spotlight here. You mentioned too the CFP. I talked about this last season, and I know Six said that they would be doing this for like 2-3 hours, but I really wish they did come CFP time. I think what is it, block five is when we get our first CFP poll. If they could just rank a top 25.
All the way to 25.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good way. And I know for the first then four blocks, you say, well, like, how do you know the top 25 bonus points? Yada yada yada. You know, it is a wrinkle in this league that the top 25 does matter, because if you play some top 25 teams on the road and you get a win, I mean, that's five bonus points, right? Or is it four or five? I think it's five.
Yeah, it's a good hefty amount.
Yeah, and that's why I was happy you were ranked to start the season, because I was like, okay, I could maybe steal five bonus points here. Obviously, it didn't work out. Didn't work out for me, but I have some other opportunities. But no, I love you calling out USC. That's another team I play very soon. He is not this block for me, but the next one, and I'm really looking forward to that one. I think Texan Ole is a super improved player from season 29 all the way to now. You know, I think he was struggling with interceptions and just maybe not the type of player he is now, but man, he scores the ball and plays some shootouts, and he's got a really, really good team with some good speed. So I'm excited to play him and excited to see USC really be more of a contender. I think in the Big Ten, with the Big Ten being down the past few seasons, you have Oregon, you have Ohio State, and maybe had Iowa and a couple others, but I think he's going to be a player in this Big Ten, which is exciting. So
yeah, absolutely. And you couldn't have said it better. Definitely a highly improved player. And I like to joke with him. He's always trying out a new book. I would love to see his saved file on this game, see how many playbooks he has saved. It's got to be in the hundreds.
He's probably got an external hard drive on his PS5 just for all those playbooks. No, I'm just kidding. No, good stuff. All in agreement on the top 25. Want to move into block two here. I know we're in the very early stages, and we're going to get a lot of content and a lot of shows this week talking about games. But, man, I said it in the chat earlier today, there's been some, like, head scratchers when I'm pulling up some of these scores. Like, I'll just start with Marshall losing 16-0 after putting up 49 points, like, in his game before.
One of the leading passing quarterbacks, like, the last few years in the league. Very strange score.
Yeah, four interceptions, shut out. I can't tell. Was that at home? No, that was at San Jose State, so it was on the road. You know, you look at, I'm trying to think of who else. Oh,
well,
Tony.
A&M in Florida today. That's a huge one.
Huge. Yeah, that's a huge one. Phony losing to Knowles at UCLA. I think UCLA got knocked off by Arkansas State. And then Phony had a really good win against Big Z at San Diego State. And then the close loss to Utah. Seeing him drop an early game here in the Big Ten, that was really surprising. What are some other games here that have happened in these first 2 days, Pat, that really stand out to you that you want to talk about?
You nailed it with UCLA and Indiana, and the way that the game finished. If what the live chat was saying is UCLA was just trying to get, he was down three and was trying to get into field goal range and just trying to like run the ball to, like, you know, how we always talk about like the tough angled kicks. Mm-hmm. And apparently he just ran the ball and just scored. you know, Phony, who's really good on defense. So he basically had a walk-off, basically a run play for a walk-off win. So that was definitely, that's at the top of my list here. And then I just want to shout out Vegas. Victories over OU and K-State this block. Mm-hmm. The OU game was very entertaining today. Did a good job. He looked like he was starting to slip up a little bit, but closed it out. So that was a really impressive win because, you know, the SEC and that dude, he's a good player, very good player. And then FSU and Boise, just a fun, entertaining game. I saw that the score was 45-42. Looks like, you know, those two are friends, I believe, in real life, or if I'm not mistaken, they play every year. So really cool. Just got to be fun to always play your buddies and play in tight games like that. So those are the ones. And then the block two games that I'm looking forward to, SDSU, Miami, Auburn, and Arkansas. And then this one for me, and maybe it's personal interest, but Louisville and Georgia Tech. I actually, and no offense to UF at Georgia Tech, but I think Missouri and him were one of the games of the week, I believe. And I think that might be a lopsided game. So I think the Louisville Georgia Tech game is a little more intriguing, and obviously selfish intentions. They are both ACC foes, so I want to see that. And then, USC Michigan, we always, no one gets their butt busted more than Freak a little bit about having the Wolverines. And we just spoke about USC. So I will definitely watch that game for sure.
So yeah. a couple of things to unpack there. You talk about Michigan and Freak. I was listening to the Pardon the Disruption recording from this past week, and I could feel a little tension there when you guys were talking about Freak losing his team, and he was kind of getting like, I'm not getting fired, blah, blah, blah. And Lick was like, well, if I was an athletic director and Michigan wasn't competing for conference championships, I would look to a different coach. And I could just feel him taking that as a personal challenge of like, I'm not getting fired, I'm not losing this team, which I know there's a handful of guys in this league, Block included, Block M, who would really enjoy him getting fired. And someone made that joke about him buying a T-shirt of every team that is on Michigan's schedule trying to cheer against them. Talked a little bit about Florida. Obviously, they got knocked off there today. Interesting. I mean, Mississippi State was winning at halftime 21-14 against Big Mike, and then Big Mike put the clamps on, as he does. He's one of the best defensive players I've ever played against, and ended up, you know, closing the deal there 28-21. A couple other games, you know, I think it loses its luster a little bit, but the Indiana Notre Dame game, I think, will be a fun one with the loss, though. I know that kind of loses a little bit there, but I agree with you on the Missouri Georgia Tech front. I do think that will be a little more lopsided, but I'm really keeping an eye on Auburn as well. I think they just missed cracking the top 25. I got that big win early. I want to see what they do in that Arkansas game, but man, you're starting to see some upsets. You're seeing some teams that some teams and coaches that we maybe hadn't thought about or thought like that they would be a big time player or contender this year that are really stepping up. So excited to see block two unfold.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still plenty of games left in the block, and the ones that we had already mentioned we're looking forward to. And yeah, you could to piggyback on Auburn. Very interesting. Another person getting to use their favorite team with a tough schedule, with a little undermanned-ish team, especially offensively in the SEC. Second year with the team, though. And then they should be more improved in next year's game, I believe, because they are one of these schools that's getting some transfers. So I want to see. Yeah, I always like to see the guys playing with their favorite teams have a lot of success.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at some games that are going final right now. You had Holmy at NC State fend off my buddy Z Nickel, who is at Jacksonville State. It looks like Holmy won 34-29. So that was that game came down to the wire. And I'm looking at Central Michigan versus Ball State right now. That was regarded as probably one of the top games in the MAC all season, and maybe in the G5 all season. Looks like Chip is up 34-7 on Ball State with about 2 minutes to go. So that one's pretty much signed, sealed, delivered. It'd be insanity if anything else happened. But I guess let's talk about those two real quick. Does that, you know, I don't want to steal the thunder of the Outliers podcast. I think they're great, but we'll talk G5 on the fly. I didn't have it on our list. Does this pretty much put Chip in the driver's seat the rest of the season?
Yes, but it just depends on how. So here's the deal, right? His conference, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but like they're missing like quite a few users. So you know, we talk about, that's a big thing. What do we, you know, that was a big talk in the CFP committee. How do we handle Sims? Like, where do you put that? So I think this conference that we're about to talk about, the AAC, actually has the capability of, if there are multiple, if an AAC team runs the table and then maybe Chip runs the table, have fun discussing that one and figuring that out, because you're going to definitely have some arguments there, because the AAC is way stronger than it was last season.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
It is. No arguments here. I mean, I know coaches are starting to trickle in. I think the MAC now has only 4 spots open. I think originally started with 6. You have some players in there that may be able to pull it off, or you never know. Like, I mean, Barkley, obviously, at Ball State was one of the favorites that had a chance. But someone said it earlier last week that anyone who's joining at this point is probably pretty good at this game, because if they're still playing, they love college football, or they're just really good, which I think is a fair assumption to make. So you never know. Someone could come in with Buffalo, Eastern Michigan, Ohio, not Akron. They're pretty terrible. But they could come in with these, with these new teams. And we've seen it before where, you know, with UL Monroe or some of these really bad teams, if a really good coach steps in, they can run a conference. So, be interesting to see. But like you said, it's going to be a tough barometer now to kind of, with your concern, to come back at that. Chip's done himself a lot of favors over the last 3-4 seasons, proving and showing how great he is and how good of a coach he is. So that'll help him, having the reputation and everyone kind of knowing that, you know, he's definitely one of the top users and players in this league. So that'll probably help regardless of Sims as we.
Yeah. It was rain on game day, and he made a great point, and you already pointed it out. He's the one that said, if someone's still playing this game and looking for a league like this, they're really going to be a good player. And I could just use a real world example. Groovy, who we have spoken about a few times, took over UTEP the first season I was in Conference USA, and I had the unfortunate task of getting him like his second week that he was here, and he eviscerated my defense. And, you know, it's one of those things, like one of our best top, I mean, he's made the playoff every year since. So one of our top players came in and took a team. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Someone could maybe take over Eastern Michigan, who's really good, really clean player, and, you know, give him some action. So it'll be interesting.
For sure. So we talked a little bit about a few of these teams already, but we're actually just going to spotlight this conference for a few minutes. The American Athletic Conference. It has been a highly competitive conference the past few seasons. We have Pat right here, who was at Eastern Carolina last year, had a great season. Tulane, whoever the owner has been there, has really played well with them. Now we got South Florida with Joker. We got some new blood. I don't know who Jumper is. He's very new, but he's 2-0 at Florida Atlantic. So I won't go down the list and talk about every team. But, Pat, give us a breakdown or just some things you like about the American Athletic Conference, and maybe we can make some predictions here toward the end of it.
Yeah, so I kind of, when you sent over the topics, I kind of made a few categories about certain teams. So if I were to, you know, I always like to use gambling as a kind of like a thing, because so many people, you know, like to bet on sports. So if I were to go to the window today and pick two favorites, it's got to be USF and Tulane, right? They're two of the higher rated teams overall in the game. Really good users, both of them, and both use their teams well. Tulane it's a good thing that transfers don't disappear off the game, because their team's eviscerated. The quarterback will be gone next year. The running back, I believe, transferred to Oregon. He's a handful. So those two are my favorites for sure. And possible, I put here right here, front runners for that G5 playoff spot besides Central Michigan. And then the sleepers, and again, we'll touch on it, Florida Atlantic and Charlotte, both new coaches. Charlotte, I believe, kept it really close with Marion in a cup game. And then FAU, I mean, 97 points scored so far in 2 games. So obviously he's going to score points. You just got to try to get him off the field. And his opponent record is 5-8, but I mean, not like, you know, it's not playing the dredges of the world. So those kind of 4 teams are the ones that I really look at to make noise. And then the other two coaches that'll always give you a very, very difficult game, and again, you usually see that from vets, is Razor at East Carolina. Got to give the former team some love. And then T-Fan over at Tulsa. Both, you know, they're interesting teams. I think you've seen it talked about before. East Carolina seriously has, like, it's I don't understand EA and the way they rate things, but if you actually play a game with East Carolina, you can do things that you can't do at a lot of other schools. You can run a lot of man coverage. You can blitz because the backers are fast. And the other utility guys, they have an all-star corner out there. And then the other corner is really good too. So really good team there. And then Tulsa has a lot of speed. So those are kind of the teams that I think would be in the mix. And those two coaches there, Razor and T-Fan, even for those really good guys in that we talked about that I think are the favorites, you know, those two coaches will be a tough out. They'll give you a tough game. And then obviously there's some games that haven't been played yet, so it's tough to gauge that. And then a few teams off to a tough start. North Texas, our guy Drew Baca, love him, get to meet him in a few weeks. Ice at Army, running that option, giving up a lot of points, though, and always playing a tough schedule. But yeah, that's the breakdown for me on that one.
Man, I tried playing with Army a couple scrims and just a few seasons ago, just to see if, like, hey, maybe if I don't have a great pick, maybe Army's a team that I could be. And then it's weird when you play with them, they're ranked like 23rd because obviously in the season they got the update and they got the ranking, but yep, man, they're bad. Like, they are not a good team to play with, which you would think because they had such a great season and they were in the top 25, maybe they would have got a boost. Like, if I remember, their offensive line PFF grades during the actual college football season were like 90 and above. They had five of the top 10 offensive graded linemen. And I know it's like different when you're just running the option or running the ball a lot. Like, they're going to obviously naturally have really good grades, but it just, I thought they would get a bigger bump because Navy, I think, actually did get a good bump, and they're not terrible in terms of ratings like Army.
Yeah, they have
is.
Good defense. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm keeping an eye on Rice, Boss Ranger. I think he got some love in the media survey preseason that they would be a team that potentially was fighting to compete for the conference championship game. You know, Razor, that was a game that I forgot to bring up on my list, was he just knocked off Arizona State, which was a team I just played, and he was almost impossible to stop. Cam Scadaboo, he had like 100 yards in the first quarter against me, I think ended up with like 170, 180, but like I have like high 80 overall linebackers and a really good defensive line, and some hard hitting run stopping safeties, and I couldn't stop Cam Scadaboo at home. So to see East Carolina beat Arizona State, and I didn't look at the stats, maybe Scadaboo still had a really good game, but that kind of shocked me that a team of that caliber was able to win that game. But, you know, like you said, Razor's a heck of a coach. So,
that was 17 points. It looks like 138 yards rushing. For Arizona State.
Yeah. So not a terrible or not a great game rushing, but still, like, that's a good amount of yards to get on the ground with a running back. You mentioned Charlotte too. That's someone that I'm keeping an eye on. That team has just some sneaky speed. I think they have a couple receivers that are like very high 90 speed. And I think we've seen in this game, like, if you get some of those guys in the slot or you get some mismatches with a linebacker, it's good night. And I did talk to MC after I saw that. I mean, we just were chatting in DMs, and he was like, man, this dude was a dog, and he was fast. So that was that's a team to keep an eye on. Obviously, they already do have the one loss, but not in conference. There's only been one conference game played so far, so you can't look too much into it. But Memphis as well, looking into them. Shady Nasty had a really good first season in 29 with Cincinnati, and I think with that team, he can probably make some noise here. But this will be a great race. There's a good mix of vets and guys who've been around a long time, as well as some new guys I'm interested to see here. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah, really good conference. And if you look at the opponent record for everyone they've played, they really went out and did a pretty good job scheduling for themselves, challenging themselves too. So good for them. And yeah, great. It's going to be a solid conference to watch.
Yeah, and I think that's where Tulane is probably going to have one of the biggest arguments. Now I'm looking, they played a couple Big Ten teams, and then I'm trying to see, they have A&M later, so that'll be a really big one. But, I mean, obviously blowing out Big Ten teams is a big deal. I know Tulane's a pretty good team in this game, and MGR at Nebraska, that one I think raises some eyebrows. And then the one against Washington is I wouldn't say expected, because, you know, Matt Daddy's no slouch, and he's playing with, I think, a team that he really enjoys. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. There's a couple, you know, I think all their non-conference games actually were against Power 4 teams. So, good for Wes and SSI going out there and scheduling like that.
Yeah, him and Jokers at South Florida play next block. That'll probably definitely be a game that's discussed on some shows for sure. That's going to be a big one.
Yeah, that's a big early one for sure. Yep. You'd think the loser of that one is probably not quite out of it yet, because there's going to be so many games to be played, and wouldn't be surprised to see a rematch. But the winner obviously is sitting pretty for the rest of the season. So
yeah, big time.
Well, the last topic we'll talk about here, kind of some interesting, again, real life college football news. We talk about it in the chat a lot. You know, obviously you had Nico Imialiava. Hope I said that right.
Dude, that was pretty impressive.
It's one of those words that, like, you get it right, but then you try to say it a second time and you say it different than you said it the first time, even though you're, like, not trying to. But, you know, big news this weekend, him transferring or entering the portal because he didn't get the money he wanted. Just the world we're living in with college football. But, Pat, I thought I'd open up the discussion just to see. I mean, you know, maybe this is a non-issue or maybe it's not, but you're going to see the transfer portal kind of go crazy now that it's opened after spring ball. And I'll just ask you, do you think that's going to change the way guys are thinking about next season, or are there any big names or other teams out there that you may keep an eye on because of this portal, and now a bunch of guys might be leaving that you didn't think were leaving?
Yeah, so 100%. And I know maybe he's joking, maybe he's not, but I see Tex and Nola in the chat all the time in the last 48 hours, pretty pumped up. Like, imagine if he ends up at USC, you know, Nico. And sometimes when a guy transfers somewhere, other people follow, right? Like, that's a mm-hmm. thing. So I think that would definitely, that's a coach that I would look at. Another, I went on this website this evening to look at some transfers, like who, like what teams, you know, got the good 4-star guys, maybe 5-star guys. Texas Tech is a team that stood out. So you have Wilds, who left Iowa, went to Texas Tech, playing really well right now, and they are going to get some transfers in there. So maybe he had that kind of on his mind. I know that, you know, that dude at OU, I don't know him enough to be like, hey, did you draft OU? Because they're going to have, you know, a Heisman guy at quarterback right next year. But you have to think that, like, it's going to be tough. Like, if someone, when the new game comes out, there's definitely going to be certain players that pull you back in. And Mateer is one of those guys. And then I think Phony has mentioned it. He's at Indiana. They get Mendoza from Cal, who had a sneaky big time season last year. And Cal is not the greatest football program these days. And he put up really good numbers. So I think with a better coach at Indiana in real life, I think that's a, you know, a quarterback that's going to be highly rated in the game. And so, yeah, you got to think like Phony, probably not leaving Indiana because of it. And then you have your typical guys, like, you know, I don't think Buehler's going to leave Miami, but obviously, I mean, Carson Beck is already kind of overrated in this game. Like, they're not going to make him any worse, right? Like, they, if anything, they'd
be
make
a little
him
better.
Yeah, or might make him better. And then Oregon, of course, the rich get richer. I saw in this on this official website, they got 4 of the best transfers out of the top 20 guys that transferred. And then the teams that kind of got USC, my Trojans are losing a couple receivers. I know Deuce Robinson went to Florida State, and then Zach Branch went to Florida. And then I'm sure we've heard Jason talk about it. UK got kind of smoked on the transfers. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just looking at some of the spring portal here in the last few days. It looks like West Virginia lost a handful of guys. I know M. Allen is there. I don't know if that's a team that he probably keeps, but it looks like Michigan lost a couple guys, which is interesting. But, I mean, yeah, you make a good point. Like, me at Wisconsin, I'm just talking about my team and the players I know. Like, I have a pretty nice receiver who's like 86, 87 overall. He's got the Press Pro, or not Press Pro, Press Breaker. He's got Sure Hands. He's got like a ton of badges. And he's going to Notre Dame, which is funny because that's like my actual favorite team that I cheer for. And it's like, well, damn, like I'm kind of looking at my roster and I'm like, well, I'm losing a handful of guys, but I pick up Billy Edwards from Maryland, who is actually pretty good and not too bad in this game as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's going to be something. I mean, this is really the last transfer window before next season, because I don't think then you could transfer anymore. There's no option to do that unless, I mean,
Right.
you know, the only new players coming in then are incoming freshmen. So yeah, something to keep an eye on. I'm sure some guys, you know, drafted with that in mind already, but I just wonder if, you know, with maybe, well, Vegas won't leave Tennessee because that's his team, but you know, that's a big loss. If you were at Tennessee and you weren't like a massive Tennessee fan, and now you don't know who your quarterback is going to be potentially in next version of the game, you may think about leaving. So yeah, I'm sure there's more names that are going to pop up here in the portal in the next few days, because I think it just opened two days ago, maybe 3 days ago, with a lot of the spring games ending. So I don't
yeah,
know.
And you know what I thought, what I saw one more thing on the transfer list, because they're not a good football team, is Purdue had three guys in the top 15 transfers leave the school. Why are they so bad at football? Like, it sounds like they have good players. They had a safety transfer to Oregon. They had a tight end transfer somewhere. And then they had an interior lineman transfer. That like stood out to me. I was like, wow, who knew Purdue had so many like super talented like guys that teams wanted, because they were abysmal in football this year.
They got Hudson Card, who I think came from Texas. And you know, you thought, okay, like they have a quality quarterback now. And I think I remember their coach saying beginning of the year, like in real life, how good they were going to be. And then, like you said, they ended up being one of the worst. Who was it that had them in season 29 that had them like 8-4? And
I think Razorback.
He was the next season, because I had him at Arizona when I was at UCF, and then Wisconsin, he was at Purdue that next year. There was someone that, like, when we were doing the Massey,
the old Washington coach, the guy that unfortunately had to leave the league. Yeah, I think that's who it was. Dub,
yeah,
that's who it was.
Yeah, that was just crazy, because they obviously aren't a very good team, but they had they were 8-4, and that's when we did things by the Massey ratings. You remember, we didn't do the college football committee, and they were like just on the outside looking in of a playoff spot. I think they were like 15th or 14th or something like that. It was really close that you almost saw Purdue in there in the playoff, and yeah, they're a pretty abysmal team. I mean, obviously now they're losing even more, so it could be even worse next season for them.
Yeah, their tight end transferred to Ohio State. I just looked at it. Max Clair is his name. Yeah, I don't know. He's supposed to be a big-time tight end. So just kind of surprised me that Purdue had, like, top players that people, you know, coveted. So, yeah, but the transfer portal, it is – we got guys – we have holdouts now. I mean, that's essentially what Nico is going to do, and Heupel, good on him in the program, just said, kick rocks, man. We'll see you later. It's a distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a total distraction. You know, imagine like running spring practice as a coach and being like, oh, I wonder what day my quarterback's going to show up. Like, what? Yeah, it's just a weird time.
Yeah, no, it really is. The state of college football, and they I think Paul Feinbaum said, like, hey, this is the first ever like holdout. You know, like almost like a holdout in pro football, where it's like, I'm not going to come to training camp. I'm not going to play until I get my contract. Now, of course, there's going to be stories coming out, and I've already seen some come out on social media about him, about he doesn't show up to appearances. He doesn't do autograph sessions, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, we're at this stage where we got these Gen Zers out here doing all this sort of stuff. And now, you know, the money's involved and I don't want to show up. I'm not going to do it. I'm too good for this. I got the ego. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's interesting time in college football, like you said.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. It'll eventually work itself out, and you'll look back and realize how it was the Wild West early on. And it's just like anything else. They'll eventually find some sort of checks and balance or a way. I don't think it'll be like this forever. That's for sure. Like there's eventually going to be a resolution.
Yeah. Someone's going to eventually step in, and there's got to be some rules or governing body at some point to change this. Cause it's
yeah, for sure. And you got to think with the feedback that they've been hearing like crazy, they definitely got to move that transfer window further away from the playoff. Like that's just got to go immediately. You know, that where guys are, we got teams, backup quarterbacks entering the portal while they're practicing for a big playoff game. Like that can't happen. That's not okay.
Well, Pat, it's been a great show. We're kind of right at the quarter hour, three quarter hour mark, 45 minutes. So we'll put a cap on it here. It's been great chatting NDL ball with you. Any parting words here?
No, just I know I've said it before, but I'm excited we're doing a fourth season. First time we've ever done it. Not to beat a dead horse. I know I think Jason brought it up that we're doing a fourth season. But I think it again, sometimes I may disagree, but I'll be open-minded. And sure enough, a really good idea by the admin. So glad they put their foot down and did that. And very excited to move to a new state and use their, you know, flagship football team. And just having a blast so far this season.
Yeah, no, same here, man. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, you moved to North Carolina. Now that's your team. But no, man, we're having fun.
We'll always love USC, but I mentioned it on game day. My roommate played golf in North Carolina, and we seriously have UNC stuff all over the house. He already has a Belichick hoodie, like with the sleeves cut off, like framed. He bought it at some antique store or something, and it's downstairs, and it just looks ridiculous, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And it says Bills Boys in the powder blue, and yeah, it's pretty cool. So, yeah, they take their football serious out here. That's for sure. And I like that.
And they should be a fun team next year with obviously Belichick at the helm as well. So,
sure.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Pat, for being on this. We'll do this for a couple more weeks. But Heck as yeah. always, let's go, boys. Let's finish this last season strong. And good luck to everybody. And long live the NDL.
Amen.